Now I want to move on to agriculture, and as COP27 moves into its second week, we are going to look at how farming is adjusting in real time to meet that target of 25% reduction in emissions by 2030. Hannah Quinn Mulligan is an organic dairy and beef farmer in County Limerick. She's also a farming journalist, and she joins me on the line now. Hannah, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
We had another very mild night again last night, Hannah, and of course we know temperatures are far above what would be normal for this time of year. Can you just describe to me, what impact is this having on how you are working your farm?
Yeah, it's been a very unusual year. I was in Leitrim and Roscommon earlier today, and actually it's very mild up in that neck of the woods as well. But despite the mild weather, and I guess people will see buds out on the trees, and weirdly as well, it has to be over 12 degrees for bees to come out. And we have native Irish beehives here, and the bees are out, and they just shouldn't be at this time of year. It's very strange. But for the land, and talking about cattle and the land, my neighbour in here in Limerick is measuring rainfall, and the rainfall is 300% higher than it's meant to be for this time of year usually. So even though there is fields look quite green, there is no way that cattle can get out in them, even though it's quite mild. So it's very strange, because we had a drought earlier in the year and people were feeding silage bales to cattle that they would have been saving for the winter time. And now we have this incredibly wet autumn winter period. And my concern as a farmer is thinking about ahead to early next year. Are we going to have something similar to the beast from the east again? Are we going to have potential fodder shortages in some areas? Because Chagas have done a survey and said in some areas there are fodder shortages there. Small fodder shortages, they can be filled at the minute, but we just can't bank on the weather like we used to anymore. And we're living through climate change, and it's bringing issues that we can't foresee yet.
And as a young farmer, obviously looking forward, hopefully to a long career on your farm, what are you doing, you know, to try and go about farming in a more environmentally friendly way?
I'm so conscious of it, because I have friends in the city as well who would be kind of asking me the exact same question. How can you morally be a farmer, is suddenly the question that's being asked, given everything that's happening in regards to climate change. And I always have said that farmers can be part of the solution, and I do believe that. I mean, something that we're doing on the dairy side of it, with my business partner Sean Condon, who's the neighbour, I mean, the average dairy cow gets fed 1,000 kgs of meal, and a large portion of that is imported, and we saw issues with that in the war in the Ukraine. Sean and myself would be feeding only 100 kg of meal, and we have decided that that is all going to be Irish meal. So everything that's fed to the cows is grown in Ireland, and it's still a 16% ration at the end of the day. It's still a good quality feed substance, but we're putting a huge emphasis just on the grass that we can grow, and also the feed. And also on top of that, we have enough land for over 200 cows between myself and my dairy partner, but we only keep 50 cows. And we're very unusual in that way. But we would be trying to direct sell the milk to customers and try to create kind of an education and awareness that customers can be the champion of this story as well. But they have to champion farmers who are trying really hard to combat climate change.
You have solar panels there as well, Hannah.
We do have solar panels. Getting lots of questions about the solar panels. Yeah, the solar panels have been brilliant. They're just on the beef side of the farm at the minute, and they have been very, very good. We have got over €200 back in credit over the summer, and we're still in credit the last electricity bill that we got. And the rules have been loosened around the agricultural grant that you can get on solar panels as well now. So you can get the grant for domestic and agricultural purposes. And that's all brilliant. But we are still so far behind in terms of anaerobic digestion. Say France, for example, I think nearly over 10% of their electricity is generated by anaerobic digestion now, getting slurry and grass from farms. And that's what scares me the most, I think, because well, everything that Chagas has put forward in the MAC curve, say breeding more efficient cows and using low emission slurry, using protected urea and chemical fertilizers, incorporating clover in grass wards, they're things that I heard 5 years ago from the current minister's predecessor, Michael Creed. And we know for a fact that using all those things are still not going to reduce our emissions enough to meet our targets. So that's what worries me an awful lot.
I mean, you wouldn't be a typical farmer, would you, Hannah? I mean, obviously you're very progressive, you're very committed to the environment and you know, working with the environment. Would that be typical, or would you find that some of your colleagues on other farms would take more persuading?
I think you have to take into the fact that the average farmer out there is a 57-year-old man. If you tell any 57-year-old person that they suddenly have to change what they've been doing their entire lives, then they're going to be scared. And I think that there's been an issue there between ag industry, the government and farm organisations, that people have had their head in the sand on this issue, unfortunately, because they haven't been shown a viable blueprint for change. You know, if you can show an economic model outside of dairy farming that's going to keep someone in rural Ireland in a really good income and a viable income, then people would do it. But they haven't been given the same blueprint for an alternative style of farming or for a different style of farming that's going to give them the same income that dairy farming is essentially going to give them. And I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with dairy farming. We should be really proud of the fact that we export over 5 billion dairy products every single year. But the issue is that the way we've been doing it hasn't helped the environment.
We have Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue with us today. Hannah, what would you say to him?
What I would say is there are 18,000 dairy farmers in Ireland. Less than 80 of those are organic. There's been a big push on to get more organic dairy farmers. And it's going to be single digits, it looks like, in the next scheme. We are very proud of exporting all this baby formula to places like China. But if we go to buy organic baby formula, it comes from France in Ireland on Irish shelves. When is he going to encourage or fund Chagask to start a proper organic research farm, a dedicated organic research farm in Ireland? That's what I want to know.
Okay, well, we'll put that to him. Hannah Quinn Mulligan, many thanks for joining us with that today from your farm in County Limerick. Minister McConnellogue, first of all, I'll ask you that question. Is there plans to promote proper organic farming?
Yes, there certainly is, Katie. And Hannah is very representative, actually, of many young dynamic farmers who are in the sector and you know, who are up for the challenge and the task of actually continuing to produce food, but also to ensure this done in a very sustainable manner. And indeed, my experience has been, I've travelled the country, as you know, and putting the current Common Agricultural Policy together, I visited a mart in each county in Ireland and engaged with farmers of all ages. And there is a real appetite there and willingness and indeed effort that's already underway to become even more sustainable and to reduce the carbon footprint. And what farmers simply ask is that they are actually supported in terms of their income to do that. One of the ways we can do that is organic and increasing the level of farming that's under organic. In this new CAP programme, which I've introduced, there's a fivefold increase. And you'll find, and the level of interest that's there among farm families take that up.
Okay, Minister, can you just respond to Hannah's point there? When will Chagask, or is there any plans for Chagask
At the moment, we're producing more organic milk in the country than actually we're consuming. But over the next period of time, not just in relation to dairy, but also in beef and sheep, that organic scheme which is in place will see a very significant, a fivefold increase in relation to the level of ground and farming that's happening in organic. And we will continue to push.
Okay, I'm just not hearing an answer to the question, though, in terms of a specific project.
So that's a very specific project, Katie. We actually have an organic scheme which we're increasing by 500% the funding, and which farmers are showing an interest in, and Chagask are doing research to support that as well. But bottom line, what we need to see is more farmers going organic. We are seeing that happen, okay. And we'll be seeing that happen very rapidly, given the level of interest that's there in this new scheme.
When you're not in studio in front of me, we're cutting across each other a little. But if you'll allow me, why weren't you at COP, Minister?
Because the government was represented very ably at COP by the whole cabinet didn't go there, Katie, but we had a very significant representation there. The key job I have is actually working to make real progress with farm families around the country. And this week, for example, I attended the conference of Renewable Gas Federation Ireland and spoke at that, where everyone was in the room that is going to step out or AD development over the next period of time, discussing how we can do that. When you look at the capacity of agriculture and food to contribute, there's lots of potential there. There's challenge as well, Katie, but there's lots of potential. And over the next decade ahead, we're going to see farmers continue to produce the food, which they do, which is even more essential.
Okay.
But also making that contribution in relation to ecosystem services. I have an acres environmental scheme at the moment, which farmers are currently applying for, and which is a very significant uptake
Minister. Minister. Okay,
for.
You've had a good run. You've had a good run there, Minister.
AD, but also solar energy, very briefly, which is a very significant new scheme in place as well, which is going to see very significant uptake by farm families too.
Okay. Verona Murphy.
Well, look, Minister, to be fair, I attended some of the meetings and the MARC meetings that you held, and you did go around the country. What you didn't mention is that many of the farming community find it very difficult to rationalise the reduction in emissions in farming, given that Dublin Airport has just been announced as the biggest offender of emissions at over 1 million tonnes. It equates to 15% of the cow herd. And after that, it's cement and it's about fossil fuels. I know we can't say we won't build houses. We're trying. It's very, very difficult. But the reality is that the focus on farming is a burden. And
so
it's
are you
very
saying the 25% level is too much to ask of farmers?
Absolutely. Absolutely, you have
even
to
see.
Even
though it is the biggest emitter of carbon.
Well, clearly it's not, because Dublin Airport is. The biggest emitter of carbon is Dublin Airport. The cow sector is what's been, the dairy sector is what's been actually focused on here in farming. And that equates to 15% of the cow herd. Every one of the cement plants equates to 7%. Nobody's talking about this. If the minister wants a response, he can actually introduce hydrogenated vegetable oil as a replacement.
Are this outraged really that it's as low as 25% because they
I'm
were
sure,
hoping for it to be much closer to the 30%
mark. But I'm sure
that
would be the equivalent as if they went to Germany and said we can't produce any more cars. We're a food producing nation. We have a Danone plant in Wexford that is responsible for much of the milk powder that's exported. It's the only carbon neutral plant factory in the country. I was there. No, Katie, this is really important. The minister knows that 20% of the country's fuel requirements could be grown here with oilseed rape and refined as hydrogenated vegetable oil. Instead, some and what is being imported, there's 90% less emissions from HVO, and yet we have the very same excess applied to something that has 90% less emissions than diesel. We have the same excise applied, and therefore it's 20 cent a litre dearer than diesel, but it has 90% of a positive impact on the environment.
I just want to let Owen O'Brien, would you agree with that, that we're asking too much of the agriculture sector?
No, I mean, what Hannah's opening remarks actually confirm is those climate and biodiversity changes that she's experiencing every day on her farm, and farmers all across the country are experiencing those, means that the window of opportunity for us to start to reduce our emissions is getting narrower and narrower. And there has to be fundamental change across all sectors. The one point I agree with Verona is we have agriculture, we have energy, we have transport, and we have the built environment. They're the four big areas where we need to see dramatic reductions. And the problem is our emissions are increasing, not reducing. So, for example, if we take the issue of organic farming, our targets are far too low. So currently it's about 2%. The government's plan is to get to about 7% in 2026. It should be about 25%. But farmers can only make that shift. And this is why what Hannah's saying is absolutely correct. One, if there is ring-fence funding in Chagas, for example, for research and development, but also if Borbia and government create the markets. In Denmark, for example, how did they grow their organics? Because government actually legally mandated supermarkets to generate markets for people to be able to sell. So if we want all sectors of society, all sectors of the economy, including farmers, to reduce their emissions, we have to give them the support.
But
we have to work with them
a way to support
and cooperate
them. There's 80,000 tractors in Ireland. that could be run on HVO. And yet the government is ignoring it. The farmers could grow the 7% acreage of oilseed rape. We could actually replace our sugar beet acreage of 33,000 hectares with oilseed rape, provide and refine it here on the island of Ireland, because we're going to run out of gas. We have no fuel source.
I wanted the minister back in.
80,000 tractors that could be run on
let
HVO.
The minister back in, yeah.
Yes. Okay, can I just make a point? Like, Katie, farmers are already on this journey and are already stepping all this out. There's massive work going on across the country.
But the emissions are not coming down, Minister.
Well, the emissions today are the same as what they were in 2018, the same level. They haven't now. Our production has gone up. Surely that's not something we should be boasting about.
They're the same as they were in 2018.
Our emissions have stayed the same, so we have to bring them down. And our target is by 25% by the end of the end of this decade. There's a reason emissions went up over the last 6, 7, 8 years in agriculture because of the fact that we're producing more, particularly in the dairy side, as a result of the removal of quotas. But what we have to do now is focus on value over the time ahead, focus on farm incomes.
Minister, but why focus, can't we focus on
Verona,
HVO?
Focus on those issues such as anaerobic digestion, which our climate targets we just agreed, which Verona objects to, will deliver 10% of our natural gas requirements produced on farms through AD over the next, between now
it's
and
anaerobic,
2030.
Anaerobic
and it costs, how much does it cost, Minister? Because the HVO idea is cost neutral.
In relation to solar energy, farmers now can avail of 60% grant aid, up to €90,000 grant investment available per farmer to actually invest in both solar panels and battery storage.
Okay.
That is going to see very significant uptake because that's a very significant new programme. And just this last couple of weeks as well, we've announced a new forestry programme which is significantly increasing the investment and the income available to farmers. And just on
we need to move on from this, but before we go, I just have to put you that report in the Irish Examiner this morning saying that Fine Gael wants the Agriculture Ministry back in next month's cabinet reshuffle. Will you be out, or could you be out of a job in 5 weeks' time?
I certainly want to continue in the job, to continue the work that I've been undertaking over the last 2 years, and to continue with what is the tremendous opportunities and potential there is in the agriculture and food sector across the board in food protection, food production, energy production, as well as ecosystem services.
Do you think you'll be out of a job in 5 weeks' time?
So, what I'd say is, Katie, I think we can expect lots more articles like the ones in the paper today, every day between now and the 18th of December. I wouldn't pass much remarks and any of them that come up, because ultimately this will be a matter for the Taoiseach, for the three party leaders, the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, and the Green Party leader. And listen, from my point of view, I've worked immensely hard to back the sector and to take it forward. I'd love to have the opportunity to do that, but that'll be a matter for the three of those.
I wouldn't
focus too much on this speculation. We'll see in the meantime.
Okay, we'll take a break.